This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. A wine in the Umpqua program today, and Chris Lake from the Stoller Wine Group. He's the vineyard manager there now. And Chris Gilpin, if I get that out right. And you're the program coordinator of community and workforce training at Umpqua Community College, right?
Yes, hi.
Thanks for coming in. And Chris, we have talked to for, gosh, back since about 2000.
I was going to say, it's been a minute since I've been here.
We began talking to you in around 2008.
Yeah, about 2008. You called me when I was in Oklahoma just before I took a job at the college.
Wow. So we thought we would kind of focus on a number of different things today, which maybe means we're not focusing on anything. I'm not sure. But so, it's Friday, so that's okay.
Yeah, we have a free-form discussion.
There you go. And Chris has got a class that he's teaching coming up. We're going to talk about that. Some other things about wine in the Umpqua, and talk to Carissa as well about things happening at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute and the Lang Center and more. So, Chris, talk about your current role and how long you've been doing that, kind of being in two parts of Oregon all the time.
Yeah, now being in two parts of Oregon. So I took a job with Stoller Wine Group in November, and Stoller's up in Dayton, up in the Willamette Valley, and not too far away from Portland. Beautiful winery, a really great wine group, very, very encouraged about sustainability. They have very high-end wines that they produce for Stoller or Chehalem brands, but they also have some very easily accessible wines like Swing and Chemistry and History, where they're focusing more on grapes that could be produced into everyday wine that everybody can appreciate in addition to their high-end.
And you're still dealing with land down here.
Oh, yeah. So before I moved, I bought a farm over in Sutherland. So I have a 96-acre farm over there where I have kiwi, berry, and olive. And Stoller has gotten involved in the wine industry down here by purchasing a 300-acre vineyard out in Umpqua.
So a lot of questions come to my mind for that, and we'll get back to those in a moment. But first of all, you're teaching this pruner and lopper course in grapevine pruning. And I was thinking this morning, way back 30 years ago when we bought a house, the house that we're still in, the deck had a kind of an English-style grapes growing over it.
Yeah, like an arbor or something
arbor,
like
yeah.
that.
And we ultimately got rid of that because you couldn't see little kids out playing in the yard because it blocked it. But at the beginning of owning that, when we didn't have kids, it was kind of a neat look and all of that. But one of our friends mentioned one day, you need to prune that.
Yes.
And I said, why?
Why? It seems to be going well. I mean, why would I cut into this thing, right?
Yeah. So explain just the science of why you get rid of something to improve it.
So what we do when we look at horticultural crops, and this is going to be a lot of tree fruit, vines, a lot of things. Naturally, they'll grow and sprawl over anything. A vine doesn't have any kind of structural support, so it uses tendrils and it lives on the top of trees in the wild. We like to kind of harness all the energy in that plant and put it into very specific growing points that will produce fruit. So a very common practice for all of us working with tree fruits or vines, we cut back 80 to 90% of what grew out last year because it's the one-year-old wood. It's what grew out as green last year and then turned brown. That's the fruit-producing wood. But that plant will continue to expand and put all that way out on the edge. We want it all confined, and we want to limit the amount of one-year-old wood on there so it'll produce a sustainable crop, a large crop, but one that you can get every year. If you leave it wild, it'll produce a whole bunch of crop, but it'll be too small, and some years it won't ripen.
So are the principles kind of the same, whether you're talking about wine grapes or other grapes or other
blueberries, plants? I've got these kiwi berries, apples, pears. For a while I ran a small labor contracting company, and we'd go down to some of the fruit producers down in Garden Valley. Every year they have to prune back their plants so that they can focus that growth on just the limited amount of one-year-old wood so they get a reasonable crop. if you prune it back, the fruit gets larger. So if you want a bigger apple, you cut it back so the larger apple is produced. Grapes, the same. We want a big cluster with lots of berries. And so we prune it to get to there.
So the class is coming up February 18th and 19th at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it could be two different stages when you look at it. So just like your curiosity about a plant that you would have in your backyard, or anybody who's got pruning tools with an intent that they're going to prune back a fruit plant around their property or something they're interested in. But secondarily, this is a semi-professional course. It's offered through Baco, which is a manufacturer of shears. They're associated with Snap-on, like mechanics tools, so it's a very high-quality tool. This class gives you instruction on how to maintain that tool. So if you're a homeowner and a hobbyist, of course, you want to keep your investment. But those people that are involved professionally in this industry or intend to be in this industry, that's a key component. You just need to learn how to take care of the tool. So we teach on both a hand shears, which is a handheld one, or a lopper, which is the one with long arms. You use two hands to make a cut in it. And then after I've taught this class before, after you teach somebody how to take care of the tool, they say, well, how do I use it? What do I do? So then we included components of pruning. And there's a vineyard up at the Lang Center, so we can teach people after they know how to maintain their tool, how to prune a grapevine.
So, and that's kind of the part of it being a two-day class then?
That's part of it being a two-day class. And so the certificate that comes is maintenance of the tool, and so we break that up. There's a warning component of the hand tool and then a little bit of instruction on the principles of pruning. So the questions you asked about why, we'd go into a lecture to show all that. Later in the afternoon, we'll learn the lopper. And then the following day, we're going to take all that and kind of sew it together and go out into the field, and people get a chance to prune a vine, and then we can talk about how they're doing it.
Have you ever taught a class like this before?
Yeah, I've taught this class before. And then when I was at the college, I was teaching a lot of viticulture classes. So we would make this more of a term length about what we're doing about pruning. People get intimidated when they look at a plant and start cutting on it. It's the very first thing that they look at it and they go, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt it. I tell people, this is a weed. So the grapevine is really just a very prolific plant with a good pedigree.
Well, and, I think about other plants like shrubs, and every time Mike Winters works on some landscaping project at her house, my wife is like, he's going to cut it back to you. And no, it came out just fine.
Well,
but there's always this, because if you go too far, you can't put it back.
Oh, it's very hard to kill a grapevine. I mean, there's some plants in your landscape you might be able to kill if you cut it too hard. When people make a tree rack out of a pine tree, that's basically killing it. But most of the time, you see blueberries all around us. They're all pruned, and somebody has to use some technique to be able to do it. And generally, you have to learn somewhere. The first time you do it, you'll make some mistakes. You will not kill the plant, guaranteed.
So, Carissa, talk about some of the things going on at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute.
Yeah, so we have Joel Goodwillie. He is our director of the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. He has some classes that he is bringing to us, a brewery tour coming on the end of this month, February 25th, and he's also putting on a four-week class about making hard cider. I'm pretty excited about that one myself. They also have an open house coming up at in, I believe, May, that anybody is welcome to come and check out.
So a wine institute with a brewery tour.
Yes, all around Douglas County.
So, obviously one interest in one sometimes means interest in the other as well. How long have you worked at the college?
2 years. I am just now transferring from being a phlebotomy instructor over to a program coordinator in the office.
Wow. And we're not going to talk about phlebotomy
today.
No, I'm sure there's a medical show somewhere for that. We're going to take a break, though, and come back with more on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1 on Monday's program. Hannah DeMara and a special guest are going to be in to talk about AFS and a special event going on here in the Umpqua Valley, and tell you more about the program where kids from this area go to other countries. Kids from other countries come here. So it's a big, bigger program than I think a lot of people are aware about. Hannah has been over into other countries as well and can tell us all about it. And we are hoping to have one of the current exchange students on as well. Chris Lake of the Stoller Wine Group, the vineyard manager, and Carissa Gilpin of Umpqua Community College in as well. So Chris, being in the Willamette Valley part of the week now and being down here part of the time, what do you notice after all your years here, now working also with wine grapes there, and just some of the differences? I mean, I know the climate's different.
Yeah, the climate's different.
And what about soil?
Well, soils can be different too. So one of the, you know, the state soil is the Jory clay loam. It's this reddish.
No, we had a state soil.
Well, there you go. Now you do.
Wow. Things you learn on this program.
So, and there's it's predominant up there in the Willamette Valley, so it's a very bright reddish clay. It holds water quite well. So, the wine industry really started here in the Umpqua. It started with Hillcrest and Richard Summer and this, you know, great appreciation of this climate and soil combination that we have in Oregon and spread on up to the North Willamette. But we see some commonalities. You know, we're working with a lot of the same grape varieties up there since it's cooler and you have an abundant amount of water that's coming through as rain. So a lot of places they planted vineyards without any irrigation. Down here we see a little bit of that, but more and more we're planting with irrigation with the intent that you have to water these plants during these warm, dry summers that we get.
Or at least have the option to some years.
At least have the option to. So you can always choose when to turn it on, right? But you're aware of what the plant needs if you're going to sustain a crop load on it and leaves. So the first thing that a plant does when it sees drought is that it tends to hold back the leaves or drop the leaves. So we see bigger plants that are down here in the Umpqua, smaller size plants up there in the Willamette. But grapes are funny, you know, and a lot of crops are funny. If you push them to their climate edge where they're, you know, just barely producing, sometimes the flavor gets very interesting, and you can fool around with that if you're inclined to learn how to operate and work with a plant like that.
Now, in the Umpqua Valley, in the time since you've been here the last, 15 years?
Yeah.
A lot of changes, a lot more acreage. Talk about what you've observed.
A lot more acreage. So, I mean, I can remember sitting at the clubhouse of the golf course and looking across all of that open pasture that was the bottom ground on Garden Valley across from the golf course, and speaking with some people at the college and in the community, like, what would it look like if that was covered in grapes? Now it's covered in grapes. There are thousands more acres than there were when I first came here a long time ago. And a lot of those are big acreages that are producing grapes that are very interesting for wineries that are larger. So up in the Willamette Valley, some of the winery I work at is fairly large, 119,000 cases and growing. Grapes that are produced here are going to very well-known wineries, A to Z Winery, Erath Winery, Union Wine Company, and they come here deliberately picking fruit that will be ripe a little bit earlier than the stuff in the Willamette Valley. That'll fill a component of a wine that's broadly appreciated by a lot of the community rather than some of the high-end wines. So there's a lot going on here. I think it lays under the radar still a little bit.
What about the two climates? Are people doing any blending where they do a red, where they're taking, you know, a grape from the Umpqua and a grape from the Willamette Valley?
Yeah. And so what a winemaker's skill is really to be able to do exactly that. Take flavor profiles from different grapes that they're getting. So say it's Pinot Noir that's being produced in both of those areas. You could take a large component of the warmer, richer, more full-bodied fruit that's coming out of the Umpqua and blend it with some of the higher-end, more floral, more fragrant grapes that are in the Willamette, and you come up with a blend that's very approachable, very easy to drink, but it has these components of flavor that they find in high-end.
Wow. So, Carissa, I was going to ask you, part of the Southern Oregon Wine Institute is the Lang Center, and a lot of things starting to happen there again.
Yes, we are gearing up for more events. I don't have a list of those today, but you can go online to umqua.edu, and we have a link there for the Southern Oregon Wine Institute that you can look and see what are events that are coming up. You can also go on there and sign up to rent out different parts of that facility as well.
Well, I know a lot of people were doing that during the holidays, different events. You know, one of the, I mean, I got to see it while it was being constructed years ago. One of the best views in Douglas County is out the window there.
Or I would say one of the best, you know, in Southern Oregon. Yeah. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's neat. And just a chance to look out there. And, of course, I also like, it came along over time, how, you know, being able to look right out the essentially educational vineyard that's there.
Yeah, the Scott Henry Vineyard, so named after Scott.
Yeah, it's really, really a cool facility. Now, for the classes, how many people can you accommodate in this?
So we have a very specific tool set from Snap-on that contains these pruning tools. And so we can accommodate 10 in a class. If there's a demand and we feel like, okay, there's more than 10 people that want to take the class, I'd be glad to talk to Carissa about offering another section of it. This is the time of the year when people are interested in pruning because it's just dormant now, and then come spring, everything's going to pop. You should prune it before that. So if we see more people, we'll offer more class.
Well, and that's one of those things where I apparently have been busted over time. when I start pruning the hydrangea, when it's a little later than somebody else in my house deems that I should be pruning it. It's like, don't you see new growth? What are you doing?
Well, so you can still do that. So even if new growth is coming off of a grapevine, say you missed your window and you're going to go in a little bit late, you risk knocking off some of the parts of the plant that you want to grow during that season. But if you're gentle, you can prune up until a little bit of green showing, but you want to stay away after that and then come next winter.
Well, and other plants as well. I mean, sometimes you have situations where something breaks off in a windstorm or whatever, you know, and you got to just deal with it, and it's not perfect. But it's amazing the things you learn when you own a home.
And when you look at the plants around you and you appreciate the plants, plants are really miraculous in what they're able to do to succeed in that environment, and they can regrow. And if you treat them well, they can really reward you.
Now, with you being in the Willamette Valley, I'm curious what the perception is of the wine community up there about the Umpqua.
You know what? For a lot of people, that seems like a great distance. You know, it's 2.5 hours drive. I drove down last night. And so I've talked to people who are very familiar with Southern Oregon, who have been down here for a while. Folks I've worked with here who have moved up to the Willamette where there's a bigger industry. But I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. We don't quite understand everything that's going on in both places. When I get around those of us who've been working in wine grapes for a while, we find we have a professional connection that allows us to see the plant as it is. It just performs different in these two environments. We find that there's a lot of commonality about how we treat it. We find that this area produces a lot of different kinds of grapes, and for people up north that are a little bit locked into a few cultivars, they're very appreciative to come down here and find all the breadth of what we grow down here, but still a little bit of disconnect. It's not that far to travel to get to know a little bit what's going on up there, and for folks there to come down here.
All right. A lot of good opportunities to learn by checking out vineyards this time of year. The Pruner and Lopper course in grapevine pruning coming up February 18th and 19th. Carissa, what's the best way for people to register?
By going online to Community and Workforce Training. You can call us. Our office number, that is probably the easiest way, 541-440-4668, or by visiting us at umqua.edu/CWT.
All right, and again, that is 18th and 19th of February with Chris Lake out at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. Chris and Carissa, thanks for coming in today.
Kyle, thanks for having us.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.